welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest is internationally recognized healer Dr. Eric Pearl, who has appeared on countless television programs in the United States and around the world, spoken by invitation at the United Nations, presented to a full house at Madison Square Garden, been interviewed in various publications, including the New York Times, and most recently featured in the film The Living Matrix. As a doctor, Eric ran a highly successful chiropractic practice for 12 years until one day his patients began reporting that they felt his hands on them, even though he hadn't physically touched them. Patients soon reported receiving miraculous healings from cancer, AIDS-related diseases, epilepsy, chronic fatigue syndrome, rheumatic and osteoarthritis, birth disfigurements, cerebral palsy, and other serious afflictions. All this occurred when Eric simply held his hands near them, and to this day it continues. His patients' healings have been documented in 6 books to date, including Eric's own international bestseller, The Reconnection, Healing Others, Heal Yourself, now in more than 36 languages. Based in Los Angeles, Eric and Reconnective Healing elicit great interest from top doctors and medical researchers at hospitals, colleges, and universities worldwide. These include Jackson Memorial Hospital, UCLA, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, the VA Hospital, Tel HaShomer in Tel Aviv, Suburban Hospital, Quality of Life Research Center in Copenhagen, Memorial Hospital in Istanbul, University of Minnesota, University of Miami Medical School, Kent College of Osteopathy in the United Kingdom, Remit University in Melbourne, Parker College in Dallas, Texas, and Melbourne, Australia, St. Petersburg State Technical University in St. Petersburg, the University of Oslo, and the University of Arizona. New research programs are presently underway at multiple facilities internationally under the guidance of such renowned research scientists as Gary Swartz, Ph.D., William Tiller, Ph.D., Konstantin Karatakov, Ph.D., and others. Eric travels the globe extensively throughout the year, bringing the light and information of reconnective healing onto the planet. He teaches you how to activate and utilize this new, all-inclusive spectrum of healing frequencies that allow us to completely transcend energy healing and its myriad techniques to access a level of healing beyond anything anyone has been able to access prior to now to date. He has taught this new level of healing to over 70,000 people in more than 70 countries, bringing about a spontaneous generation of healers worldwide. More information is available at www.thereconnection.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Eric, and I look forward to learning about reconnective healing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Eric. I'm happy you're here. First, what do you mean by reconnective healing?
Well, reconnective healing is a new form of healing that many of the researchers feel may well be here on the planet for the very first time. It seems to reconnect us with our original fullness as human beings. It's very similar to what is reported that we experience between lifetimes. People have life after death experiences and become much more multidimensionally aware of the universe. When people experience reconnective healing, they oftentimes, when they open their eyes, explain that they were experiencing something that wasn't awake and wasn't asleep, but was much more real than either one. And in doing so, we tend to come back into a natural state of balance, a natural vibration of the light beings that we are. And the imbalances, the health challenges, often have very little left to hold on to. So if appropriate for that person, they fall away. And then the truth is healing apparently seems to be just that simple. And most anything more complicated than that is often set out just to sell us on something.
Mm-hmm. Then, Eric, how did reconnective healing emerge in your practice?
Well, I was practicing as a doctor of chiropractic for 12 years when one night a few strange things happened. I was awakened by a very bright light. I opened my eyes to see what it was, and it wasn't anything seemingly spiritual or metaphysical. It was simply the lamp next to my bed. It had, for some reason, decided to turn itself on. At the same time, however, it felt as if somebody was in my home who wasn't there when I had gone to sleep. I can't tell you what kind of an uncomfortable feeling that is. Let's just say that I got up with a knife, a can of pepper spray, and my Doberman pincher, and I went hunting. And after a good 20 minutes or so, I realized that no one was there that I could find anyway, and I decided to talk myself into thinking that it had to be my imagination. Mm-hmm. But on that Monday, when I went into my office, seven of my patients, independently of one another, insisted that they were feeling people in the rooms with us just the way I'd been feeling people in my home that weekend, even though they didn't know that had been my experience. Some said it felt like people were standing or walking or running. Two of them actually looked me straight in the eye and said it felt as if somebody was flying around the ceiling. Now, being my 12th year in practice, where no one had said this to me before, seven people saying it one day, you would think would have gotten my attention.
Right.
At the same time, other patients are saying, I can feel your hands before you touch me. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, sure you can. Close your eyes and lie down. So as they had their eyes closed, I held the palm of my hand anywhere from several inches to several feet to several yards away from them. And they could tell me whether it was aimed towards their right foot or their left ankle. And as I was doing this, I would see tiny little muscles in their face begin to almost, well, what it looked like they were rippling in their forehead or around their chin, pulling at their lips or their eyebrows. Their eyes would rapidly dart back and forth. Fingers and feet would move. And when they opened their eyes, they would report seeing colors they had never seen before and smelling fragrances they had never before smelled. And that's when they started reporting and demonstrating healings, real healings. They were getting up out of wheelchairs, some of them, vision and hearing returning. They were coming in, showing me days later laboratory results where their cancer tumors had vanished. Kids with cerebral palsy or epilepsy were able to walk and run and play and speak normally, not have seizures or require medications. I mean, not every single person, of course, just as with medicine, nothing is 100%, but enough people so that we began to recognize that something substantial was occurring here. And as word got out, people started calling me and asking me what I had done. And I said, I didn't do anything and don't tell anyone, which went over about as big as Nancy Reagan just trying to say no to drugs. So soon people started coming in from everywhere going, I'll have what she had. And the next thing we know, people are saying, teach this. And I said, teach it. You got to be nuts. I'm standing there waving my hands in the air looking like an idiot. So go outside, wave your hands in the air. Let me know what your neighbors have to say about it. But more and more, the patients would call me and say, well, I got home and I drove up in front of my house and the automatic garage door opened before I hit the little button in my car to open it. Or I walked inside and my lamp or my TV started turning off and on and I felt sensations in my hands and I would hold my hands near someone in my family and my aunt could speak again after the stroke or my uncle regained the ability to walk. And we began to find that once you interact with this new, more comprehensive spectrum of healing, what science today calls the reconnective healing spectrum, that something changes, not just within us to have our own healings, but that then allows us to learn how to facilitate healings for others as well.
How does this differ from any other energy healing work, such as Reiki?
Well, what we've had here has been energy. We've been existing in four-dimensional time and space. So it's been height, width, depth, and time are the four dimensions. And everything that's been here in our tiny little bubble of existence in this huge, vast universe, but within our little bubble, everything here has been energy. Mm-hmm. So all of our energy healing techniques have been portions or fragments or subsets of this energy. Reiki was one part of the energy. Qigong is another part. Jinshin or Jore or XYZ or Alpha, Beta, Delta, all these energy healing techniques are different techniques that access different subsets of energy. But time is moving faster now in all mm-hmm. directions at once. So mm-hmm. what science says is that time is expanding and our existence is expanding. And we are now able, if we are willing to put down the techniques, to let go of the techniques, we are able to access not just those subsets of energy, not even all of the energy, but now as time expands further out in the universe, we're able to access more energy, light, and information than has ever been here before. So with reconnective healing, we access this fully comprehensive spectrum of energy, light, and reconnection instead of just little portions of energy that are in Reiki, as an example that you gave.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about this is that by not having to learn the complicated techniques, it doesn't have the weaknesses of energy healing. You don't have to take your jewelry or metal out of your pocket, you know, or your jewelry off. You don't have to protect yourself. You don't have to worry about rituals. And the intelligence of the universe seems to bring about the perfection of the healings. These healings tend to usually be fairly instantaneous
mm-hmm.
instead of, as with energy healing, where you have to go back again and again and again. And usually you only need one session.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this as related to the ascension, where we move from, theoretically they're saying, we move from a third to a fifth dimensional world where there is no time, where there is no
duality? Precisely. That is precisely what is happening. What the studies have shown so far is that, unlike energy healing,
mm-hmm.
reconnect healing actually restructures, or what I say mm-hmm. is reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
our DNA
mm-hmm.
in a way that, as it does that, it allows us to become more aware of the universe more multidimensionally, and therefore we become more multidimensional beings.
Mm-hmm.
See, our brains don't work the way that we were taught. We were taught that you had little sub areas in your brains and different areas worked on mm-hmm. learning and memory and speech, etc. We now know today that the information is diffused throughout the brain
mm-hmm.
and we access this information through what's called zero-point fields. And
mm-hmm.
as we restructure the DNA, it allows us better access to what's going on within the brain. It's like giving us a human software upgrade, where if you have a software upgrade in your computer, you get better access from the computer and the internet system. And when we work with reconnective healing, the upgrade with our DNA strands allows better access with our brains to the multidimensional universe. So we go from third dimensional into what a lot of people call fifth dimensional,
mm-hmm.
although since really not linear at fifth
mm-hmm.
dimensional,
mm-hmm.
it's not even fifth dimensional. It's just multidimensional. We don't even have a word for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I live on the road about 45 weeks a year teaching how to do this work, teaching people how to do this work. So
mm-hmm.
what happens is most of my seminars, like the one coming up in Phoenix, March 3rd through the 1st, and I think there's one in Kripalu coming up sooner than that. Most of the seminars, though, are a Friday night, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. The
mm-hmm.
Friday night, we give the history, theory, the science of the work. We bring up audience volunteers to give live demonstrations of the healings. And we give everyone an opportunity to feel it into your hands. But
mm-hmm.
that Saturday and Sunday is very different. It's a real working seminar. And I warn people, I say, do not come to that seminar. If you think we're all going to sit around, hold hands, you know, and drum
mm-hmm.
and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, because it won't happen that way. We're going to work with you individually, show you how to access this more comprehensive spectrum of healing, how to feel it. You'll start to see the people that you're working with. You'll see their bodies go into involuntary responses and movements. And by the end of this one weekend, just one weekend, I can pretty much make you two promises that, A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing
mm-hmm.
that I can do. And B, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that any human being anywhere on this planet can do, whether they were raised by monks in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet or whether they created some kind of new healing technique. All we have to do is learn to actually transcend the techniques itself to master healing, just like we have to learn how to remove the training wheels from the bicycle to master the bicycle itself.
That's great that anyone can do this. Now, does it work on everyone, or have you had people that it did not work with?
Reconnective healing works with everyone. Whether or not it brings you the result that you're looking for might be a different question. In other words, three people can come in with the same diagnosis and the same set of symptoms and receive three different sets of results. One person might have, you know, if you're fortunate, you'll have the healing you came in looking for. If you're truly fortunate, you'll have another one the universe has designed specifically for you, one that you haven't even been able to have thought of on your own. Where are you based out of?
I'm in Virginia, but the show is in California.
You're in California. Because I'd love to, if you'd like, I'd love to invite you to one of the seminars as my guest, and then you get to report back to your viewers whether it really is.
I live in Virginia. I'm in Virginia.
We'll see how you are.
Oh.
You'll just have to come and travel to one of the other seminars. If you go to our website, you know, the title of the book is The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. But the website, to make it easy, is the same. It's www.thereconnection. You have to use the word the. TheReconnection.com. And if you check the schedule there, I'm sure you'll find a seminar that I'm teaching near you, and then you can still take me up on the invitation.
Great. I'll do that. I did have another question I wanted to ask you, and that had to do with scientific research. Is there research going on to validate and explain this?
There's a lot of ongoing research. As a matter of fact, most recently, a book was written by the head researchers at the main university in St. Petersburg, Russia. And it's available on Amazon.com in English, and it's called Science Confirms Reconnective Healing. And what they had done was, we had worked with the Russian Olympic athletes. We took 60 people there, gave each of them approximately 3 minutes of reconnective healing, and took a control group where they were each given just some form of energy healing. And 10 days later, everyone was measured, and 100% of the people, the athletes who received reconnective healing, had dramatic improvements in their red blood cells, their white blood cells, their blood humoral levels, their emotional states, and their DNA was physically restructured. That's the fifth study so far showing it restructures the DNA. 0% of the people in the energy healing group had this type of result.
That's great. Now then, would you tell us about your, I know you have one book, I don't know if you have more or not, but I know you have one because I read it, your book.
That book is called The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. Now, the second book I'm actually working on right now.
Good. And when will
that be? I plan to turn it in to the publishers the end of February. I'll turn it into the publishers the end of February, the end of this month, and hopefully it will come out sometime this year.
Great, good. So you're all over the country as far as your presentations?
I'm all around the globe.
Oh, you are?
I'm all around the globe. As a matter of fact, in 2 weeks I'll be in Oslo, and then I'll be back in the U.S., and then I'll be back in the Netherlands, and on thereconnection.com is my schedule, because I have to look at my schedule there to know where I'm going to be. I get that confused.
Yeah. Well, great. I appreciate this, and I will be in touch when I see that you're coming somewhere near. If you get to Washington, that's not too far away, D.C. probably.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I would enjoy doing it. I took Therapeutic Touch years ago with Dolores Krieger at NYU.
Right.
But
there's a lot of steps and procedures in that. And this reconnective healing is about transcending technique itself, because the true gift of the technique only comes when we rise above it. Too many of the teachers keep us staying in complicated techniques and adding more and more steps. That would be just like once your kid mastered the bicycle with training wheels, you started adding more and more training wheels to the bicycle. Well, that's not going to get you very far, mm-hmm. is it?
No. Mm-mm. No.
No.
Well, I appreciate this very much, Eric, and I know the listeners are going to want to learn more about it, so they'll be looking for your book and hopefully coming to your presentations when you're in the area near where they live. So I thank you.
Well, that would be wonderful. Well, I thank you, too, for the interview.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And now for a word about the new spring issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. As usual, this issue is a gourmet delight of wonderful stories, music, and movies, so it is difficult to select a few to mention. I start with interviews with two well-known stars, Linda Gray of Dallas fame, who talks about what moves her and what keeps her moving, and the role of gratitude in her life. Then Anne Margaret talks about her life and love, her 45-year marriage, and her abiding faith in God, and how this has been a part of her life and career. Both are inspiring stories. It was great to see Jay-Z Knight in my interview with her. Jay-Z is the channel of Ramtha and is considered by many to be one of the most charismatic spiritual leaders of the modern age. She also made an appearance in another video in this issue, the interesting story of Jonas Elrod, who woke up one day and could see angels, demons, auras, and ghosts, and what this means for him. As a 38-year lung cancer survivor who used controversial natural products when given 6 months to live, I was immediately drawn to the article on a miracle cure for cancer, in which the author discusses the controversy around the natural product guanabanus and the successful experiences from clinical and research studies. Another area of interest as I get older is living a healthy life, and the article on secrets of a long life from the 94-year-old who keeps busy with poker, bridge, and competing in bowling is an inspiration to me and to all. Last, not to be missed, is a violin performance of Estrellita by Charlie Seam and the song L.A. City sung by Connie Lim. You won't want to miss these and other stories, music, and videos in this issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Rhonda Lanier, also known as Self, is a prophet and luminary who founded a non-medical paradigm called the Self-Healing Experience, or SHE. She is renowned for producing a phenomena, a predictable miracle, whereby people effortlessly outgrow the need, desire, and purpose to self-abuse and sabotage themselves with the behavior of excessive drinking, eating, smoking, and so forth, and self-defeating thoughts that block inner peace. Since 1987, she has offered over 30,000 people worldwide freedom from desiring, needing, or seeking false versions of peace through a phenomena this divine experience produces. In her early teens, Rhonda was a dedicated student of the Boston Ballet under the direction of its founder, the late Virginia Williams, and was granted a Ford Foundation scholarship. She became an apprentice with the Boston Ballet at age 14 and was one of the youngest dancers with the ballet at that time. At 15, she received a scholarship to study at Juilliard School and was given a scholarship to the Rebecca Harkis School of Ballet Arts. Rhonda is internationally renowned for her contributions and achievements in the fields of teaching, healing, enlightenment, and for bringing forth the self language. She has been referred to as one of the leading medical intuitives in the world and has been compared to the sleeping prophet, Edgar Cayce. Although medical intuitive feedback is but a small part of what transmits and occurs in her presence during the self-healing experience. She offers private and group she's via phone and in person at the Lanier Self-Healing Center and when traveling internationally. More information is available at www.lanier.com/sanctuary. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Rhonda, and I look forward to talking with you about your healing at the sanctuary. Now, first, what is the self-healing experience, or SHE?
The self-healing experience, or abbreviated SHE, as in female gender, me physically, and the self-healing experience, there is ambiguity there, is an instantaneous and most effective, advanced, and effortless way to become one with your highest power, instantly enlightened, and reach the center point and the sanctity of pure inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
And she, the self-healing experience, and again, Ms. Physically, and the experience are renowned for producing a phenomenon, or what is referred to as a predictable miracle, because it happens consistently,
mm-hmm.
over and over, where people's addictions and out-of-control problems and many other stressors people struggle and suffer with effortlessly disappear in seemingly an instant.
Hmm.
And that's without any pain, because it transcends all boundaries, withdrawals, meetings, counseling, treatments, rehabs, or therapy in about an hour, and over
mm-hmm.
30,000 people since the mid-80s, actually 1987 officially, have been subject to this byproduct or predictable miracle.
Hmm. And Rhonda, where is this offered?
It's offered in our Massachusetts Center, Vermont. As such, we have two healing centers, and through SHE sponsors worldwide at your location or destination, and via phone for people prohibited or unable to travel. We're the only place in the world that offers the self-healing experience, so people from around the world come to visit us and are subject to what sets them free, if you will.
Mm-hmm. This then answered the next question I had, and that was, who else is using the treatment program for eliminating addiction? And you say then that you're the only one that uses this program.
And it's not a treatment, and it's not a program, it's an experience. So it supersedes the boundaries of being, because it's not the objective of the experience, only a byproduct where
mm-hmm.
their addictions go away. It used to be in the 80s what I primarily did and was known for, although the work has evolved, so now it's a minuscule part of the experience and basically the smallest thing that occurs during it. So in terms of it being a program, it's not named, it's not framed, it's an experience that allows me to be able to become one
mm-hmm.
with whatever is someone's verbal image, like water I reflect.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, what is the predictable miracle referred to on your website?
Well, the predictable miracle is that, again, out-of-control problems, thoughts, or anything that blocks or inhibits or impedes or infringes upon inner peace that's within all life is outgrown. The need, the desire for cravings or relationships, whatever the stress or the problem is, a problem is a problem is a problem. It's judgment-free. Someone outgrows. When someone doesn't need something, then it no longer is relevant. So if you liked something in the third grade, a garment, a toy, or even a friend, it mightn't hold the same value to you today.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, with problems and anything that people think, per the falsehoods of what's their friend usually when they come to see me, for she, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Are obstacles that they understand they don't need effortlessly. So there's no, people become, as clients say, ex-alcoholics
mm-hmm.
or ex, it's gone. It no longer serves a purpose, so it isn't.
Mm-hmm. What types of conditions do your clients have when they come to you?
It doesn't matter what it is, because again, the objective of the experience is to reach the sanctity of inner peace, and only their system knows. I'm not predisposed to anything. Like water, need no history to reflect, or doesn't need to be prepared to reflect. No one ever argues with raw water. You have my nose wrong or my eyes wrong. It just is. It's instantaneous. It's also a kind of double metaphor, as we are composed thereof, what someone meets as their inner portrait or picture. But back to the objective of the experience, it's not the objective to lose the addiction. It just happens now. It's a byproduct. The objective is inner peace. And the promise or the guarantee is they become instantly, just like that, enlightened and one with their highest power. Now, instant enlightenment is not meeting my enlightened state, but the light within you that your system knows and reflects no more, no less. So one's cup will never runneth over or be under that mark that you're ripe to comprehend, to ascend or transcend whatever issue you no longer need. And because time is ubiquitous during this process, meaning what was, is, and will be are all in the eternal now, everything becomes a non-physical, timeless experience that relates to everything that is physical and timed.
Mm-hmm.
So one meets their infinite self with an S, S-E-L-F, in parens S, which is silent. The parens represent the physical body or structure with whatever the life is, human or animal or mineral. If it lives, it has some sort of even a cell, a structure. And the S is what is infinite, within all life complete and where all life meets the same. And one meets their infinite self that knows, different from the thinking mind or recycled information through bibliographies. No matter what text someone is reading, there's some bibliography or recycled info. People get their authentic knowing self's voice, might be one long run-on sentence, phrases, or wherever their system orbits, to know directly what's going on with them finitely and physically.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you talk about spiritual things, but on your website, it talks about people addicted to alcohol and other conditions that come. And so I gathered from that that people do not necessarily come for enlightenment, but they come because they have an addiction or some other condition that they want help with, and that by working with spiritual concepts, you're able to deal with the condition that they see themselves coming for. Is that correct?
The reason why you see so many addictions, these are what clients have experienced that they've walked away with in terms of what impresses them. So when a client is motivated to schedule, it's normally not for the objective of the experience, but for the byproduct. And then, because when I first started doing this work, I was known as the healer of addictions, if you will, one told another. I primarily saw people who were only healthcare providers at a veterans hospital north of Boston. And the doctors and the nurses and then the cafeteria workers, word spread throughout the whole facility in 1985 before I first started my first office, which was not a center back then. And people would come to my studio apartment all hours of the night because they had different shifts for this person who was able to take their addictions away and their stresses. So I became known for that, and it's still stuck. And when people send in their testimonials or healing stories, they normally feel as though, wow, I, you know, had this problem for so long and it just disappeared. So that's what they take away from the experience. The experience isn't spiritual. It's not religious. It's not, it has no name or frame, although it includes all religions, all science, mm-hmm. all philosophies. So you could become your own homeopath, and somebody else could become their own kind of self with an S, which is a non-physical dentist, cardiologist, whatever the specialty is. Padat, your system will just go right to, or magnetize to, exactly what you need to know to grow out mm-hmm. of, or to grow into, or to understand why, or when, or how. There's no expectations except your system knows, and what I trust implicitly is you,
mm-hmm.
and just being able to reflect. So I have no gift outside of being able to reflect perfectly and knowing better than to edit anything that then becomes edited truth and again isn't truth any longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the experience. It's nameless, it's frameless, it's undefined. It only becomes defined through you.
Mm-hmm. Now, do your clients come back a second time or do they usually just come once?
Usually, the in-person experience is three separate sessions.
Mm-hmm.
The problem normally goes away in less than an hour, although there are two follow-ups. So hypothetically, if somebody is drinking four quarts of whatever a night, and believe me, we've had purple-faced, shaking mm-hmm. people detoxing that come out pink and mm-hmm. with the look of the divine, but they would come for two other subsequent sessions, and it might be a stressor, but for all intent and purpose, generally speaking, people's problems are eliminated the first time.
Mm-hmm.
When there is a phone check-in, not for me to check in with them, but for their self to know how they're doing. And everyone produces a self with an S protocol,
mm-hmm.
which simplistically are things to avoid, things to incorporate, most particularly how they work in tandem. It could be an iteration. It could be a poem mantra, where a poem and mantra meet the same that their system will produce. Nothing templated, nothing known, always original. I become like their player piano or stenographer, if you
mm-hmm.
will.
Mm-hmm.
That allows them to take away. People don't take kindly to invisible protocols, what's in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So some people want to just reach an optimum state of health. And because it isn't a this for this, that for that approach, I don't subscribe to anything greater than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's only what your system knows. Homeopathy might be great for someone, terrible for someone else, mainstream medicine if their system states to consult with X, Y, or Z specialist, that's what it will be. But most particularly, how everything works seamlessly in a protocol in tandem. So like pixels of a picture or notes in a musical composition, what note is the most important in a musical composition?
Mm-hmm.
Or movement in a ballet, so or dance.
Mm-hmm.
So what their system will understand is how preventively, in retrospect, what hasn't healed, what they might not know is occurring in the now, what is occurring. It could be blood work, urine samples. Anything can come through this non-physical, relating all to that which is physical
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
And to continue to answer your question, some people opt to via phone, and then some people will come in and say, you know, it's been X years later, and now I have this stressor, or life has changed, so I'm in this
mm-hmm.
relationship that's faulty, or I can't move on, or, you know, I've had this trauma as a child, and I'd really like to get over it, or I have an anger issue, or I have something that I really, the most commendable, and I'm not supposed to editorialize
mm-hmm.
or comment really
mm-hmm.
on why someone comes in outside for the experience, but a very young gentleman from South Africa, very successful in his 20s, came back. He stopped drinking, and that was fine, even though it was just the byproduct, and he said, I'm here to lose my ego,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not supposed to comment, but my heart smiled, and it can be coming back for something like that, too,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but he is far few in between.
Right, right, right. Rhonda, is there anything else you'd like to say then about your services, and also if you could tell us how the listeners can reach you?
Certainly. I guess if I had one thing to say is you need not suffer. You are perfect within yourself, and you'll meet your own perfection through what she, the self-healing mm-hmm. experience, mm-hmm. and me physically offer. And I live for this work. It is my purpose. It's not my job or occupation, but I've dedicated my life to serving you.
Mm-hmm.
And how to reach us, I guess the best way would be through our website, and that's Lenier, L-E-N, as in Nancy, A-I-R, like air, all one word, .com.
Mm-hmm. Great.
There is a telephone number mm-hmm. that's toll-free if people don't have a computer,
mm-hmm.
and that is 1-888-412-8392.
Great. A lot of people my age do not have computers.
Well, don't categorize yourself in anything that owns you, as you're born in this moment anew, and we all start in the new moment the same.
Well, I went to my high school reunion. It was my 55th, maybe, a couple of years ago, and no one else there knew anything about computers. And then I suggested that we have another reunion in 10 years, and they said they were thinking of 2 years because they didn't think they were going to be around in 10 years. I said, well, I know I will.
Yes, you will. Yes, you're a lot like your mother genetically, by the way. You look like her, too.
And
you bear your mother's genes. Yes, and she's with you. But I love you, and I commend you for what you're doing. And I guess there's one other thing. For one to find the love they are
mm-hmm.
is available within themselves.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you. It's indeed a pleasure and honor to be with you.
And I've enjoyed this too very much, and I appreciate this. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye. My last guest is Amanda Owens, whose research during the last 20 years into the nature of receptivity and its link to manifestation led her to develop a system that helps people manifest the lives they want by developing their capacity to receive. She reports her findings in her latest book, The Power of Receiving, A Revolutionary Approach to Giving Yourself the Life You Want and Deserve. Amanda has been presenting lectures and workshops since the mid-80s on a variety of topics in the spirituality, empowerment, and self-improvement genres. She works with individuals and groups traveling throughout the United States and Canada and reaches an international audience through her telecourses. With a BA in psychology, a background in social work, and 25 years practice as a counselor and coach, Amanda's passion is to help people create the life they desire. Recently, Amanda created a series of presentations for the staff of nonprofits, nurses, and others in the helping professions to provide practical tools that will bring relief for those who have dedicated their lives to helping others. More information is available at www.thepowerofreceiving.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Amanda, and I look forward to hearing about the power of receiving. Now, first, we are taught all of our lives that it is better to give than to receive. Now, why is receiving important, and how does balancing giving with receiving help people to reduce stress in their lives?
Well, first, Carl, it's so nice to be here with you today and to speak with you.
Thank you.
So thank you for having me on your show. The receive simply means to accept willingly. And so receiving and giving are really a natural pair. And so it's really, we are going against nature when we only give, as we should obviously give, but mm-hmm. we never receive. And so often people block what people try to give them, what life tries to give them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, often out of a cultural message that, as you said, that it is better to give than receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can turn away even something as simple as a compliment without realizing that they get into a habit of simply turning away what people try to give them. And what this does is put more and more and more on their own shoulders, mm-hmm. so that people end up feeling really exhausted and stressed. And, of course, that has health consequences mm-hmm. as well. So receiving is really about bringing balance into your life so that you're giving and doing and energy goes out. And then receiving, you are replenishing your energy,
mm-hmm.
And that contributes to good health, obviously. Mm-hmm.
I think some of the wanting to give and not receive also has to do with one's self-concept. And so people that mm-hmm. have a low self-concept tend to want to give, and they have trouble receiving. And I have worked with people many times that had low self-concepts, but they mm-hmm. were always giving, giving, giving. That tends to be a characteristic of nurses. People who go into nursing mm-hmm. want to give to others. And a lot of that is altruistic, but some of it is low self-esteem.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it? I agree there. People, you know, people who go into helping professions,
mm-hmm.
you know, very often they have a wonderful instinct to give. They think of others and they want to contribute. I've come to see kind of the reluctance to receive is that we simply don't know enough about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have this kind of giver archetype that we're very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, you know, we've never heard of, you know, kind of, wow, look at that person receive. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have no receive archetype to even think about what it means to receive and just kind of fall into a more natural
mm-hmm.
flow. And, yeah, it's interesting what you're saying about the kind of low self-esteem. This is something I've been writing a lot about
mm-hmm.
recently. And one of the ways I've been talking about it is, it's to say that kind of receiving is more mechanistic.
Mm-hmm.
That if you put your self-esteem to the side
mm-hmm.
and not let that dictate
mm-hmm.
whether you allow someone to give to you, it's almost like you can certainly accept a compliment and say thank you, even if you're not feeling very good about yourself
mm-hmm.
at the time. You can still be in that two-way street, that two-way dynamic or exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my students that don't worry about waiting to feel kind of high self-esteem before you receive, because your self-esteem will go up as a result of receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because you begin to create a life where people give back to you as much as you give, and that certainly just feels better overall to, you know, be in a life where you feel that people are doing their fair share or helping out. And you get more comfortable delegating when it's appropriate to do so as well.
Even to receiving financial reimbursement for your services. Again,
mm-hmm.
nurses traditionally were very low paid, as
yeah.
well as school teachers.
Yeah.
You know, it was predominantly a female occupation.
Exactly.
They were not valued by society. And
exactly.
it reinforced by their low self-esteem. But I think a lot of this is changing now, too. So,
you know, I think you're absolutely right. And in fact, the book that I'm working on now is about receiving in women, and very much for the reasons that you're
mm-hmm.
talking about in female-dominated professions that
mm-hmm.
were valued, you know, very low in terms of pay,
right.
as well as status and kind of prestige,
mm-hmm.
contributed to people having kind of negative feelings about themselves. There was an overall social climate that really supported that.
Right.
So these days, one of the mottos I have is the only possible match for someone who doesn't know how to receive is someone who doesn't know how to give.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in that way, we've gotten that perfect ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask people to kind of don't focus so much on a non-giving person, but instead reflect on your own capacity to receive and learn the steps of receiving
mm-hmm.
so that you can bring more reciprocity into your relationships and just kind of more inner balance to your life as well.
Right. Then, Amanda, would you explain your three steps to receiving?
Yes, yeah, so I would love to. You know, I came up with these back in the 90s, and they still serve as kind of the cornerstone foundations for received practice. And the first is accept all compliments, and just for the reasons that I was saying, that mm-hmm. you can always say thank you, that it's important to give back to the person who is giving to you, and it's important to receive somebody,
mm-hmm.
so that if you accept all compliments, what it begins to do is it gets you away from the uncomfortableness of some of the cultural messages, particularly for women,
mm-hmm.
who say it might be boastful to agree, you know, with someone who says something nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so accept all compliments is the first step. The second is count your blessings, which is the whole concept, which is very popular these days, which is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude is a receptive state, and kind of that the more you focus on the things that you are grateful for, the more you have to be grateful for, and this kind of gets you into the practice of receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the third step I call be spiritually naked, which is really about being self-revealing, transparent, mm-hmm. authentic, truthful, honest, and just being kind of exactly who you are in the moment, not some idea of who you would like to be,
mm-hmm.
but to come across in a very kind of authentic way. In mm-hmm. this way, you are not only receiving kind of, you know, your own feelings in the moment where you are, but you provide other people the opportunity to know more about you
mm-hmm.
and to connect with you in fuller ways and in kind of richer ways.
Mm-hmm.
So these three steps that seem kind of very simple, they're very easy to say, you know, actually have very far-reaching consequences, and they begin to affect the way you relate to yourself and the way that you relate to mm-hmm. other people.
Mm-hmm. Then, Amanda, what advice do you have for people who give to others and receive little or nothing in exchange?
That's a great question. I separate giving and receiving from doing and taking. So I have a motto for every doer has a taker,
mm-hmm.
every giver has a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
When we're giving and receiving, it's mutually kind of replenishing and renewing, and it feels good. It connects us with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what it feels like to kind of do for others who just take and take and take
mm-hmm.
without giving anything back. So one of the things I ask people to ask themselves, are you doing or are you giving?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a distinction that a lot of times we don't really make, you know, kind of with our acts. Sometimes we're enabling people, or we have other things going on that we are exhausting ourselves doing for others when it actually separates us from the other person. So that whereas giving and receiving mutually, you know, it feels good. Doing mm-hmm. and taking, both people have resentment, both people have anger, both people feel stress. So that is really the first thing I ask people to just be a little more discerning about that. But the other thing is really I ask people to develop a strong receive practice, to take the focus away from the non-giving person. I ask people to go on a complaint fast.
Mm-hmm.
And to not complain about that person
mm-hmm.
Either, because that complaint kind of operates as a discharge mechanism
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
keeps the situation firmly in place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I have a motto. I'm a motto person. And the motto goes like this, no suffering allowed, A-L-L-O-W-E-D,
mm-hmm.
no suffering allowed, A-L-O-U-D.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so I actually have a leaflet on my site you can download and just kind of put it on your refrigerator or your mirror, just where you can see it. And just it helps to kind of commit to this complaint fast. And what happens when we're not complaining is we actually receive our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And when we receive our feelings, changes begin to occur, and we start to make changes
mm-hmm.
based on what we're feeling, so that this can really actually be quite a transforming thing to simply go on the complaint fast.
Mm-hmm.
So with the three steps, accept all compliments, count your blessings, be spiritually naked, and no suffering allowed, complaint fast, those all by themselves will really bring about so much to change people's lives who feel that they are absolutely tapped out mm-hmm. in everything that they're doing.
Now, if you'll tell us about your book, then, and your services, and how the listeners can reach you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, my book, The Power of Receiving, A Revolutionary Approach for Giving Yourself the Life You Want and Deserve, mm-hmm. came out about a year ago under Tarcher Penguin. And I have a site, thepowerofreceiving.com, where you can find out all about the book and also about my lectures and seminars mm-hmm. and my events.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, and all of that you can really find from my site at thepowerofreceiving.com.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Amanda. This has been interesting and a different topic than what I'm mm-hmm. sure the listeners usually hear.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I thank you for being with me today on the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.